Okay, well, hello everybody. This is Vance Stevens in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, and it's Sunday, May 22nd, 2011. And we are learning together. We're at learningtogether.pbworks.com, and we're a group of educators who meet weekly and just help each other to learn things. So basically that means we present, discuss, provoke, whatever. Today we have Yuri Vedrashko and Sean Dowling with us. They're both at the Higher Colleges of Technology. Yuri is in Fujairah and Sean is in Sharjah, Hawaii. I used to work in Hawaii. Anyway, Higher Colleges of Technology. So they're going to talk today about the role in construction of personal learning environments, and especially about learning management systems and content management systems and how they should be used, how they use them. So I guess I should just, and before I turn it over to them, I'd like to welcome Yo-Yo, who keeps popping in and out from China, and Heather is here with us from here in the UAE, and Claire Braden Siskin has joined us all the way from British Columbia. She's at the Calico conference there. And we have Yuri and Sean. Would you like to introduce yourselves? Welcome.
Hi, good evening or good morning to everybody. My name is Sean Dowling. I'm the Educational Technology Coordinator here at the Sharjah Higher Colleges of Technology. I've used learning management systems, course management systems for quite a few years now, maybe almost 10 years at this stage. And over the last couple of years, I've been experimenting a bit more with Web 2.0 technologies. So basically, that's my background, and that's why I've been asked along here today. I hope you enjoy the talk as well, and hopefully we can generate some interesting questions afterwards.
Thank you, Sean. My name is Yuri Vedrashko. I am from Fujairah, also work at Higher Colleges of Technology. And I teach English, and I also design courses, assessments, and I'm very interested in exploring the potential of course management systems, especially Moodle. And my favorite feature is lessons. They make instruction interactive, and there are many things I can tell you, nice things about Moodle lessons. And I'm grateful to Sean for letting me have a free Moodle website host at the administrator level. Okay, I look forward to hearing your questions, and thank you for coming over tonight.
I think I just put the link to Sean's blog and also to Yuri's Moodle site there in the chat. I'm going to paste the link to a paper that Sean wrote that. The way this came about was Yuri asked me to have a look at it, and I did, and I thought it was a very interesting paper. Welcome back, Yo-Yo. How are you? We're starting our session now. So anyway, I'm going to put the link to it here on the you can click on it and see it if you like. And by the way, if anybody wants to say something, just raise your hand, and there's a little hand just above the audio bar. You can also have a smiley face or other things. So or just put a question in the text chat, and we'll try to take it. Okay, so while I get that link, maybe you guys would like to start off. We have slide presentations here and other things to just talk and discuss.
Yuri, do you want to start off maybe? I think it probably leads into my talk a bit better.
Sean, I think it would be a good idea if you started it because you've got the article and you experimented a lot with different... Let's start with you first. I'll follow up after that. Okay?
Okay, fair enough. So everybody can see the first page, I hope, now. It's digital learning spaces. And the important thing beneath that is it's an alternative to traditional learning management systems. And there's a question mark there at the end. this whole project was done. It was a research project. I wanted to answer a few questions or try to answer a few questions. So I'm still not leaning one way or the other, and I'm sure Yuri will give his opinion about things as well later. So I'll talk about traditional LMS and their limitations. I will look at personal learning environments, teaching environments, and then the combination of both into a digital learning space. I will also talk about the use of web technologies, PLEs and PTEs, to deliver and manage an online English course. In the past, I've been an English teacher as well. I've been the English faculty before moving back into educational technology. So traditional LMS, I'm sure we're all teaching in third level institutions, so it's commonplace now. I've been using Blackboard for maybe 6-7 years at this stage. Moodle I've used a little bit, but it's basically been WebCT before Blackboard. The good thing about them is the standardized interface and tools. So it's very easy from an edtech point of view, it's very easy to train teachers in using them. From an IT support as well, it's quite easy. And of course, it gives us centrally managed learning. We can have all our students in one class, we can have the grade book, we can have assessment, and everything is managed centrally. However, there are some limitations. I think it's generally agreed that traditional learning management systems are more about administration than sort of pedagogy. They are also they focus more on the content distribution and administrative tools rather than interactive ones. So if you look at most courses on Blackboard at the moment within my institution here and in previous institutions, most of them have been used just to deliver content. So maybe some PowerPoints, Excel, Word, PDFs, whatever. And for administrative tasks, managing the gradebook, managing assessments. The interactive features of learning management systems, which there are quite a few, the wikis, the blogs, and whatever, I haven't found teachers using that much. Another feature about traditional LMS is that they are very bulky. Blackboard in particular has been adding a lot of new tools and new features, and this bulkiness has made it quite expensive as well. Moodle, on the other hand, is free, less bulky and easier to use, I think, than Blackboard, but it still has some of these issues as well. Okay, I'm trying to follow some of your questions here on the side as well, but I'll just keep on going through. So there are some sort of traditional limitations. For me, the main limitations are, as you can see on this page here, the main limitations are the closed nature of current learning management systems. Courses are time-bound, which means that students are enrolled for maybe one semester. Once that semester ends, they don't have access to that course anymore. In addition, courses are walled off, which means that students enrolled in one course cannot really interact with students in another course. And finally, they're very teacher-centric, in my opinion. They're basically enhancing sort of traditional teaching pedagogies of presenting the material, maybe having a discussion, and finally assessing the content. These limitations have resulted in fewer opportunities for extended learning. Okay, if students want to look ahead to courses that they might do next semester or look back at older courses where they have useful resources, in current learning management system, it's very, very difficult to do this. There are also fewer opportunities for collaboration because it's still the teacher is presenting the content and assessing the content. The interactive tools, which are there, they are there in current LMS, but they're not being used much by teachers. And all this results in the learning potential from the network effect that many people working together, that potential is negated as well using current learning management systems. So what are the options? I've been experimenting with personal learning environments over the last 2 years now. A personal learning environment is using a lot of the tools which are used daily by students. So you've got the Web 2.0 applications, the Facebooks, the blogs, the wikis, the messaging. All of these can be used in the PLE. And they're mostly free, But the problem is now that a lot of the, I won't say it's a problem, but some of the premium services do charge a small fee, which is not a lot, but for people working in an education institution, they don't really want to, they don't really want to pay for that service. It's also important to realize that it's not just a collection of software in a personal learning environment. There is a very strong social element. So it's the connections between people and the software, but it's also the connections between people themselves make the PLE very powerful. It can also support extended informal learning. I mentioned before in the learning management system that it restricts students to maybe one course. Whereas with a personal learning environment, students can use it for their the whole length of time in college or university. They can use it after they graduate from college. So it's an ongoing thing. And finally, a PLE, which in our situation is quite important, it can be combined with formal learning. There's no reason why we can't use some of these free social Web 2.0 tools within the formal learning environment as well, maybe combine them with traditional learning management systems. Another aspect I'd like to talk about is the personal and personal learning environment. Should all learning be learner-driven? How much should the educator actually decide on? Should we, as the traditional education providers, provide all the content, or should we allow the students to generate their own content? So let's look at a sort of a halfway house between a personal learning environment where all content is driven by the learners and a personal teaching environment. So in a personal teaching environment, it's the educator who selects the learning resources and tools. But learners can have their own personal learning environments. So the resources are selected by the teacher. Work done by students can be done in their own blogs, their own wikis, their own learning environments. Personal learning environments are not restricted to one course. So a student can use a personal learning environment over multiple courses as well. Go back to the PTE. It's part of an educator's wider personal learning environment. So I would use my Web to English PTE as part of my personal learning environment, which I'm using here now. I'm talking about my Web to English. So that's becoming part of a wider personal learning environment. And the combination of these multiple PLEs and PTEs can create a huge sort of learning ecosystem, which I refer to here as a digital learning space. So within this digital learning space, we're moving away from the traditional content provider, the educator being the traditional content provider. We're looking at the teachers who are becoming learners from other people. And more importantly, I think the learners are becoming teachers as well. They can help their peers. They can produce content. Something which you can do in traditional learning management system, but it isn't really, from what I can see here, it's not really encouraged that much. So bearing all these things in mind, I set about designing a web-based English course, and I call it Web to English. And the objectives, well, from the student perspective, was to improve both their English and computing skills. My objective was to show that I could deliver a full English course without resorting to a hosted learning management system or an expensive learning management system. I split the course into, I think, 10 modules, 11 modules over 12 weeks. The students were non-traditional. Because of the curriculum here at the higher colleges, I wasn't able to introduce my own English course. I had to use the learning management system Blackboard within the college. So I decided to ask some non-formal students. These were basically wives of faculty members, wives and friends of faculty members. So I had six students, one from China, two from Korea, one from Japan, one from Thailand, and one from Colombia. And they ranged from the age from about maybe 30 up to 50. So they definitely weren't traditional students. They definitely weren't digital natives. So this added to the complexity. If I could manage to have these an older generation of students use a fully online English course, and I think it would, you know, it shows that it can be done. The final thing was I wanted the pedagogy to determine the learning activities, and from that I could select the tools. I think with current learning management systems, it's the other way. You look at the tools, okay, we can do that, so therefore we have to do learning activities just like this. Maybe Yuri can show us different afterwards. Okay, I think at this stage I'd like to show you the website, so let me just take this out. Can I copy that? Okay, can't see how I can copy it. Let me just put it in here anyway. Okay, so I'm starting a web tour now. This is the Web to English site. So for example, I've just highlighted this module here. I've brought it up to the top. So you'd have the content here, links to all the different texts. Okay, Helen, you can't see the web page, no? Vance, how can I set it up so that everybody can see the web tour?
Well, I can see it. Let's see. Let's put it into the. I'm going to put the link here in the chat. You can click there. It might be open in a browser window somewhere. Well, it's in your web tour screen. Yes, okay, that's right. Yeah, all right. So sometimes that happens. Moderators, reminder: don't close that window. Just move it to one side if you need to move it off to the slides. Okay. Go ahead, John. Thanks.
Okay, so I think everybody can see it now. It's basically you have your content here, different pages here for things like course outline, schedule, rubrics, very important. So all the assessment rubrics are set out there for students. Initially, we had pages for student work. These are all the different blogs and different podcasts that students have designed. Also on the interface, if we scroll down a little bit, these are all the tools that we use on the course. So I'm linking all these together in the portal, which is a WordPress blog. So I use Edmodo as well. I use ClassMarker, SurveyMonkey, Twitter, Blogger, Google Docs, and my podcast. These are all the tools that we use on the course. I can pick and choose these. It's up to me what I want to choose. Also, these are the web resources, so we use British Council, LO.org. So various resources and various tools I can put on the website, on the blog. We can see all the student work down here as well. So these are all the tweets. As you can see, my students haven't used Twitter in a long time now. From experience, I get the impression that they don't like Twitter. They prefer using Facebook as well. So all the content's here, all the content accessible, not just to my students, it's open to any student, any person who wants to look at this, and it's not closed, it's not set over a certain time, so they can go back in a year's time, 2 years' time, and everything should be here. Also things like, for example, Dipity is quite nice, how do you display student work? I'm not sure if this opens up. Okay, I think you'd have to click on that. But afterwards, please have a look. Look at the different tools and whatever. So this portal allows me to deliver the learning in an open environment so that everybody can access it. It's also important to realize, though, that there are certain things that we can't have open all the time. So when I want students to produce their own text or whatever, it has to run through me first. So I use tools like Edmodo, ClassMarker for the quizzes, but Edmodo is very important. I don't want students to be ridiculed when they just put something up there and the English is poor and then it's open for ridicule. So what I do instead is I tend to go through the drafting process again, the first draft, the second draft. Once everything is okay and once they produce a good piece of work, then I get them to use Web 2.0 tools so that they can open up their own blogs and whatever. So please have a look at that later. Let me just move it down now. and try and go through this quickly. So if you have a look at how Web2English fits in as part of a larger DLS digital learning space, here's my personal teaching environment. I've picked all of these tools here. So we've got the resources on the bottom, we've got various tools. So this is my personal teaching environment for Web2English. The student's personal learning environment is more or less the same. We've got the same tools and resources, but we're split into two different types. We've got production tools here. So they use Twitter, Blogger, My Podcast, Google Docs to produce, in a way they're producing learning materials that they can share with their colleagues and peers. And we have the consumption tools. So I use these to produce materials. Students would use them just to consume. Okay, on its own, Web2English is quite isolated. It's only the students and me interacting. Here's how my personal teaching environment would look. Personal learning environments are out here. So in a student's personal learning environment, it can interact with my PTE, but it can also interact with other people in a larger digital learning space. So for example, if you take it to a wider audience, if you look at, here I am in my personal teaching environment, which is Web2English. From Web2English, I've written papers, I've done stuff in my blog, I've done professional development courses, which again, everybody can share. So we're building up a huge digital learning space at this stage. Students in their PLEs, via their blogs and via their tweets and whatever, they can access other people outside as well. Also, they can get in touch with newer learning environments here with LO.org and British Council. So their PLEs take in Web2English, but they also take in external learning as well. So you've got a huge open learning ecosystem here where we've got multiple connections, and with the result that the network effect gives huge learning potential for students. This is something which I feel that traditional learning management systems don't allow students and teachers to do. So just to finish up, the conclusion at the end of the course was that students agreed that their English and computer skills improved. They thought that particularly the computer skills and also the English writing skills. 4 or 5 of the students thought it was a good way to learn online. And from my own perspective, I think the course showed that web technologies can indeed be used to successfully deliver and manage online courses. We don't have to resort to traditional learning management systems. Was it a success is another question. I don't know. I have some concerns about it. For example, the students on the course hadn't used traditional learning management systems, so they weren't able to compare and contrast between the two learning approaches. I also found that the student PLEs became dormant afterwards. Yes, they did make podcasts, they did make blogs, but I found that after the course had finished, then they didn't use it. But I think perhaps that was because they weren't studying over a long period of time. They more or less stopped, so they didn't have opportunities for further learning. Had they opportunities for further learning, they probably would have kept using their PLEs. We need to set up a digital learning space in a formal learning environment. So I am trying to experiment here in Higher College of Technology with this type of learning environment. There's also some resistance to digital learning spaces at the institutional and faculty level. One way to get around this is maybe to incorporate web technologies into learning management systems. I think Blackboard 9, the new version of Blackboard, is trying to do that. But we could also go the other route and incorporate learning management systems as part of a digital learning space, which is what I do here with my students. I design blogs, WordPress blogs, which is the course delivery mechanism. So I use a blog, very much an open learning space, to deliver the course. But things like assessments and some discussions, then I would use Blackboard, because I think obviously privacy is needed there. Okay, so I've been speaking fairly quickly now. I haven't really had chance to sort of look what you're writing on the side, but please, if you have any questions afterwards, I'm more than welcome to try and answer some of them.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. That's So you're teaching. Can you tell us, sort of contextualize this course? It looks like it has about half a dozen students, and is it something that you just did one time, or do you teach ongoing like this, or you just did it as an experiment, or what's the context for the course you're teaching?
Yes, it was very experimental. I wasn't able to do a course like this within my university setting here, within the college setting. We have a strict curriculum. We have to follow it. We have to pass certain assessments, and we have to use Blackboard as the tool for online delivery. So because of that, I said, well, I need to experiment outside. So I designed a course. I've always wanted to design a fully online English course as well. So I think with Web 2.0, the tools were there for me to do it. So I selected some students. We did the course. I thought it worked. And since then, I've been introducing course delivery like this here within the college. Last semester, I designed a grammar course, something similar, probably less student interaction on it, but it was the first stage here. I also use this type of delivery for all my professional development courses that I do here, my EdTech courses here.
That sounds quite similar to what I do with Webheads, because it started as a course for students, you know, just an experiment, just to learn about the tools, which of course I've applied to other courses I've taught, and especially teaching to faculty or to other teachers worldwide. Does anybody else have any comments at this point for Sean or questions? And I'm going to leave plenty of time for Yuri to tell us what he's doing, because he's doing some very interesting work, kind of coming from a different direction, but very high quality and necessary, I think. So anything else for Sean before we move on to Yuri?
Sean, I've got a question about your concern that you had to deal with the curriculum that was handed down to you on your students, despite your will and your interest in following it. Do you think that PLE will be more effective if one day we arrive at a certain time in the future when there will be no centrally dispatched curriculums?
I don't know. I think there are too many stakeholders involved now. It's very difficult for there to be no sort of centrally dispatched curriculums. What I try to persuade people to do here now is to have students produce more content and use that content for the learning process as well. So yes, we have to follow a certain curriculum, but we've got to, particularly now that all our students have laptops, we need to get them involved in the actual creation of materials. That's the interaction side that I can see Web 2.0 too has been very, very effective. But sort of to go back and answer your point, can I see the day when we don't have set curriculums as such? It'd probably be nice if that happened for me from a personal point of view, but I can't really see it happening in a long time.
Ooh, I want to jump in and answer that one, because the moment that we have no set curriculums is when the students graduate and they have to keep learning. So of course, you know, this is so vitally important thing, is they have to learn how to learn. And you know, I think the kind of thing that Sean is doing is modeling learning behaviors for after college. So of course you're stuck with a lot of baggage because you're in a certain situation, and that might be well and good, because you're taking learners who are not necessarily literate in the kinds of skills that they're going to need to cope in in the real world when, you know, jobs that they're going to do haven't been invented yet. So but I think surely that's exactly what you're preparing them for, is you know, how to deal with life, with learning, when there is no curriculum.
Yeah, if I can just follow up on that briefly now. I think what we're trying to do as well is make students more independent within formal learning environments as well. So using a lot of these Web 2.0 tools allows them to be a little more independent, allows them to maybe be less focused on the curriculum and more focused on producing their own stuff as well.
Okay, well, let's leave lots of time for Sean. And also, I'd like to welcome Kalyan. Kalyan is from India. He's quite active in CAL. He's been working with APACAL, Asia Pacific Association for CAL, and also with India CAL. He's trying to organize computer system language learning people in India, between India and kind of the Asia Pacific area. Kalyan, would you like to say a word before we get going?
Hi, am I audible? Hello, am I audible? Okay. Sean, I just have a quick question to you. For example, the way I see it is this kind of personal learning environment is not something the administrators within the institutions do like, because they want to protect what they are doing, particularly the private institutions or the universities. They are not ready to open up. So how do you see to that? Meaning, as Vance has said, that when students leave the institutes and they want to learn for life, and there's a kind of a learning mobility we need to encourage. And then this type of courses where we can involve lots of web tools and giving the students the kind of learning space that you are talking about, which is so good and so nice. But how do we actually convince our administrators that, look, there's no harm in opening up this content, because this actually gives our students the opportunity to produce their own content, to become self-reliant, and to double, and they do in course of time develop a kind of a belief in their self-efficacy. So how do we convince them? That's my question. And thank you very much for your presentation.
Okay, Kalyan, thanks for that question, an interesting question. I think the problem with traditional learning management systems is, yes, the administrators have more control over it, and they do want to control everything. They want courses to be standardized, and they want to keep it within the college. But just last week, I'm proposing doing this type of courses with our education department here, and I was a bit worried that there'd be administrators wouldn't allow it to happen. But the administration here said, yes, you know, this is something they've been wanting to do for a long time, almost like the MIT open courseware. They'd be quite happy to have courses put online, because they see it as being as a marketing tool now. If we can produce good, high-quality online courses, of course, they have to go through the assessment process to get accreditation, or sorry, to pass exams and get their degrees and diplomas at the end. But from a marketing point of view, administrators were saying, yeah, this looks good. If we can do this for all courses and set it up this way, why not?
Maybe Yuri would like to address that and segue into his own segment.
Yes, Sean, I'm a little concerned about the feature that you advertised for PLE and digital learning environment. This feature is walled off. I mean, walled, in other words, your courses are not walled off and they're not time-bound. I think that's, I would like to follow up on what Kalyan said about the closed nature of course management systems, is that maybe it's a good thing that students don't get distracted with interference from other environments or ecological systems. Maybe it's a good thing to actually screen students' attention away from what they get from other participants, external participants. Can you comment on that, please?
Yes. I think it doesn't matter whether you're using a closed course or an open course like mine. You know, the way the internet is set up now, they can get outside influences from all over. So my thing, if you can make courses as interesting as possible for them, hopefully by them producing content, then it keeps them from straying. But I don't think we can, it doesn't matter if we have an open course or a closed course, we're still not going to have them, you know, outside influence is just going to be part of the process now. If you open up the internet, then they're always going to be exposed to it.
In some of the courses that I teach, I get my students, well, I'm talking about teaching to adult people who usually probably got a few years, a couple of years teaching. Those are the people who tend to take the TESOL courses that my Multilicious course is a part of. And they have a program of courses, and my impression is that the other courses in the program sort of start basically and try and sort of restrict the environment on the valid assumptions that Yuri and Kalyan have made, and that is that it's easier to manage and students do need a controlled, easy environment. In my courses, I come at it a little bit differently. I argue that that you have to be exposed at some time to the deep end. And it's good sometimes to have a course that is different, takes a different approach, and lets the student figure things out. And it's a struggle with the students, but I think they really benefit from that. They seem to like it. They seem to, they keep asking me back to teach the course. So, but it is a very different approach. I'm saying that both are valid, but you kind of need both. You want to make sure that the students are not always in the baby pool, but they do get out in a part of the ocean, you know, so where they have to cope with the real waves. I guess to use an analogy, but I would say that, in my opinion, both are valid and both are also necessary.
Okay, if you don't mind, I can get started with my presentation. I'll run it real quick by you and see what you can say to some of my ideas, if you don't mind. Okay, I'll move on to my presentation then. Okay. I'd like to position course management systems, especially I will be referring to CMS as a course management system instead of learning management system or content management system. I'll explain later why I chose this way of interpreting CMS abbreviation. Okay. So I'd like to make just 3 points real briefly. First, I'd like to talk about the role of course management systems in learner-centered curriculum. And the second point would be uses. I will expand on uses of course management systems. I will highlight only 4 general uses of Moodle. I will be focusing on Moodle. And finally, I'll try to present my idea of how a course management system such as Moodle can be implemented system-wide, despite all resistance of potential stakeholders, teachers, and students and administrators. Okay, I'll move on to the next slide. First of all, I'd like to talk about the nature of course management systems. I would position it as the major condition for implementing a learner-centered curriculum. So in other words, a learner-centered curriculum or teaching or student-centered, whatever, everything has to do, that has to do with student-centeredness. It's impossible without education technology and especially course management system. I believe that PLE and P, okay, I'll talk about it later. I just want to say that course management system is very important. It's the basic condition. Why? Because it provides modular approach to curriculum design, and it makes it very efficient. It also allows for transparency in both ways, especially for administrators and teachers. But also students can see they can afford transparency from their end. It makes learning flexible, despite being walled off. I think it's still flexible, and there is a possibility for students to access other websites, and the processing speed and efficiency, for example, marking papers or marking quizzes, or even giving feedback in interactive activities, it's remarkable. It's simply fantastic, and it's also multifaceted because students have access to a lot of interesting resources through course management system. I don't think it's walled off from the entire world. I still believe that it's good to have students focused on the content and activities. And just to round by you my understanding of features of learner-centered curriculum, I would say that it's important that students have an opportunity to choose how to study, which also includes place, time, and the duration. In other words, more capable students can complete the course much faster than less capable students, and then be done and move on to another course if the learning environment allows for that. But that's the future, of course. And it's important, yes, I agree with Sean, that students should have in learner-centered curriculum, students should have an opportunity to contribute their own content and experience to the learning process. And I'm on the third bullet for under the LCC features. Students choose what to study from the range of modules. But I also believe that the teachers, and not only just one teacher, maybe a collective of teachers should prepare materials, activities, assessments on course management system so that students can choose, like sort of in a buffet, people choose different dishes. They are not expected to try everything, and let alone consume everything on the table. But as long as they try, savor a few dishes, and that would be already a remarkable experience if the buffet is good. And of course, learner-centered curriculum is also an activity-based because it makes it transparent, whereby the structure of activity we can actually see what mental processes, psychological processes are enacted in certain activities. So activity makes it transparent as well. And course management systems, such as Moodle, allows you to track not only completion of certain assessments, but also their behavior at the activity level, be it individual or collective. And of course, it's frequent reflection. It comes from the philosophy of instrumental progressivism. It's very important in this, and this is kind of the latest, to my knowledge, the latest trend in education philosophy, that students should constantly learn how to self-reflect on personal learning progress. Okay, so I just covered my understanding of the role of course management system as the fundamental condition for implementing a learner-centered curriculum, which is very difficult to do. At this point, I don't know of any institution that has successfully implemented learner-centered curriculum. I still believe this is the task for the future educators and enthusiasts and change agents. Let me move on to the second slide. Now, I would like to zoom in a little bit on the four major uses of course management systems, especially Moodle. Let me remind the meaning of the abbreviation of Moodle. It's a modular, object-oriented, dynamic learning environment. So for this kind of environment, I can clearly see four groups of successful and I would say indispensable instrumental uses of this system. The first one would be delivery of materials, interactive activities, and content. These three words have different meanings for me. Materials is something that teachers can offer again, I go back to the metaphor of a buffet in the morning or for lunch or dinner. So whoever comes to this table, they don't have to choose everything, but they select modules. That's why it's Moodle operates through modules. Activities is something, again, that only teachers can, I mean, not only teachers, but students can also come up with their own activities, but those will be forums, basically chats, wikis, what else, polls, questions, but most importantly that activities like Moodle lesson, they are good workout tools for students to make sure that they understand the content. And the content is something that actually students generate, and they contribute it through forums and wikis and feedback and self-reflection. The second group of users of course management system I see is monitoring learning progress. I think this is the central point here when course management systems were conceived, designed, and bought by serious institutions or installed by individuals like me, again, thanks with Sean's help, I think the idea was actually to monitor learning progress and make it not only efficient and possible, but the whole idea of making it possible, it becomes possible only because or thanks to course management system with all its facilities and gradebooks and records and tracking functions. So monitoring is very important. Profiling students' learning behaviors is also very important because this is how we can do our own action research. Teachers, individual teachers, or entire institutions can compare using students' behavioral profiles. We can actually identify learning processes and map them against learning outcomes, which can be also available and recorded logged through course management systems. So profiles are very important, and also they can be requested by potential employers maybe in the future. And of course it makes it easier for teachers this is my fourth point, teachers can make course management operations much easier, especially calculation of grades and even giving students feedback. Through Moodle lesson, for example, it's the feedback can be delegated to the machine, to the computer, to the Moodle course, and students can actually learn a lot, whereas the physical teacher cannot cope with this class of 20 or 25 students and giving them feedback every time student has a problem or a question or within a zone of proximal development. So it's really handy and useful to have course management system in for this point, for this particular purpose. So these are four groups of uses of how I can use course management systems such as Moodle. Let me move on to the. Okay, what's next? And finally, I'd like to introduce my understanding of how a course management system like Moodle can be implemented system-wide. I think, first of all, we can't say that teachers find Moodle or Blackboard, even Blackboard Vista, unwieldy or difficult to use because they need training. And the implementation of a course management system depends on strong leadership, fundings, good fundings and commitment on part of leadership and change agents. At this point, it's very difficult to combine these four forces together. Until then, we can't say that that people or teachers were disappointed and they didn't find Blackboard Vista or Moodle useful. So. In this triangle, I present learner-centered curriculum as the basis, as the goal for playing around with Moodle or Blackboard Vista. In other words, there is no point in even trying a course management system without understanding that a learner-centered curriculum can be or should be introduced. And it has to be a collective understanding. Until then, nothing is going to happen. It has to be a curricular type of innovation or a primary type of innovation. So number one, the arrow with number one refers to the effort of a cohort of students, of teachers who would like to design some courses or on the Moodle, for example, modules and assessments or Moodle lessons. And teachers can actually suggest the content or select the content from course books, and that group of enthusiasts can create modules and entire courses with dynamic objects. So that's the arrow number one. It's moving from learner-centered curriculum toward course management system, understanding its role. The arrow number two it explains the second stage in implementation of learner-centered curriculum. Again, it's the idea is learner-centered curriculum, not the course management system. And this step would be mastery of the created courses by the courses that has been created on Moodle by the rest of the or the critical mass of the faculty. That would be the second step. And again, the faculty can contribute to this process by showing their collective effort in creating grade weighting matrix. For example, different activities, lessons, assessments can be later broken down into percentages and weighted differently. So this is how the critical mass of the faculty can contribute to the implementation process of learner-centered curriculum. Okay, and the third step would be to make sure that the transition from so in other words, the transition is more factual. In other words, we can start canceling even classes. No more classes, no more course books, and instead we can introduce individual meetings and sessions between teachers and students, again, upon students' request. And students will decide what to talk about, for how long, and when, and where. So that was the third arrow. And this, as you notice, the arrows 1, 2, and 3 are outside the triangle, which manifests its collective or external effort or nature. And the arrows 4, 5, and 6 are more, they are inside the triangle. And I wanted to show with these arrows that this should happen more at a personal level. So arrow 4 goes back to CMS uses. And actually, this is when teachers start appropriating the created modules, activities in course management systems, and they can start making their own contributions in the form of texts or video recordings or even lessons, Moodle lessons, which is difficult to do, or quizzes. And then they can start sharing these materials as well. And this will be the fifth arrow. By sharing, teachers start self-reflection on effectiveness and efficiency of their contributions through course management system. By the way, course management system allows or even demands this kind of professional exchange, because otherwise, outside any course management system, professional exchange simply dies out. It just lives maybe for 5 minutes or 1 hour after another workshop, but then it ceases to exist. Whereas course management system makes it more tangible and observable, almost three-dimensional. So I think professional exchange in the form of new lessons or quizzes or ideas or wikis can be easily swapped across courses by teachers. I can demonstrate it later in other sessions. And finally, the sixth arrow would be allow would be the stage when teachers use students' profiles to map students' learning behaviors. Sorry, they would use profiles of students' learning behaviors to understand how learning processes can be matched with learning outcomes. So these six steps of implementation of learner-centered curriculum shows how that curriculum, the new curriculum, is kind of more important in this discussion rather than technology. Technology plays the secondary but also indispensable part. And the two triangles below the two rectangles below the triangle just shows the transition from the collective effort of implementing learner-centered curriculum toward more personal effort on part of the teachers and even students and maybe administrators through the course management system. And that's pretty much. I just one more time. I'd like to remind that it all takes leadership, fundings, and commitment in the implementation of course learner-centered curriculum through the course management system. Now, I'm ready for your questions.
Yeah, I'm impressed by the depth of consideration that's going on in both of your approaches. I was expecting. Well, maybe you could. I know what Yuri does really well. He creates a very nice set of comprehension check lessons for his or quizzes for his students, so that he can keep them on track. And I was just wondering how does that, where does that fit into your that scheme that you just articulated there?
Yeah, first of all, students can feel my voice, and of course it's all about helping them express their own voice, because that's what the learner-centered curriculum is about, to start molding or shaping or eliciting students' voice in the learning process to turn them into lifelong learners. Yeah, I agree with all these beautiful slogans, and this is part of my teaching philosophy as well, except that I believe also is that students first need to be led, and we can start by offering them something on the platter first, wide, big platters of food, and letting students actually choose something first. Once after they have chosen or at least imitated the certain behaviors from more capable students or teachers who are, by the way, who are supposed to be facilitators, not teachers in the traditional sense, then they can pick up some lifelong learning skills. I don't know if it answered your question. Maybe you can, if you would like to paraphrase it somehow.
Can I just get in here, Yuri? I think it's quite clear that we're both sort of aiming in the same direction. Now, we want really our learners to be more autonomous. We want them to create more, and what they create, we want them to be able to feed that back into the educational process as well. So I think it doesn't matter whether you use Moodle or whether you use non-traditional sort of course management systems. I think at the end of the day, we want to see our students having more more power in the educational process.
I agree, Sean. I agree. Yeah. The only conceptual difference between our approaches is that I position a learner-centered curriculum as the primary goal in my endeavor. And I believe that technology, especially my favorite tool, which is Moodle, comes second, even though I spend a lot of time and I have strong, serious expectations of this tool, but it's always the secondary for me.
Do you think there, Sean mentioned that, of course, more work should be done with open IDs, and I know Yuri would like to see a one logon entry. Well, actually, that's the whole point of open ID. It would be nice, and I know many people have worked on that, you know, trying to get, trying to use as many spaces as possible, yet have them accessible. Once you're in, and you can get into all these spaces. Do you think that's a really huge problem, that the students are really put off by having so many IDs? It seems like if you could create, in other words, if you could create what Sean did, but what Sean does, but channel it all through one network, would that be something? If you could do it all in Moodle, let's say, I mean, would that be then equivalent to what you're trying to do?
I actually don't think it is too much of an issue now. Yes, we always have students who seem to forget passwords and things like that. I think more teachers forget passwords. I tell students to just use one password or one email and one ID for all different applications. So even though it's not OpenID as such, at least we're not going to forget things. But I think there companies are working on the OpenID stuff at the moment. It's going to be a long time before we integrate all these applications. I don't know whether it's going to be possible or not. It will definitely take a long time.
When it comes to Moodle, I think it's up to the teacher whether he or she would like to let the access to the course material open without credentials, or lock it with credentials, or even the enrollment key. I think these are technical details, and teachers have control of that. When I create my courses, in the past I created a huge course, very heavy on lessons and assessments, and I made it absolutely transparent to all outsiders by allowing guests in without any enrollment keys and credentials. So I just wanted to advertise the whole idea of using Moodle to materialize the course in the cyberspace. And I think it's not a problem. Of course, enrolling students, why should I bother about students who are not in my course? I think I should pay it. I have a lot of students already. I have 80 students, four sections, broken into four sections. I don't have time for other students from other who are not students of my institution. So I think it's a good thing to have password protection. Login, the credentials and everything. But at the same time, I would be happy to show the world what I have been doing and to take their criticism, constructive critique.
Any further commentary from India before we break this up? I think we were trying to do it from 4:30 to 5:30, well, that is UAE time, and now it's getting almost 6:30, and I know Sean has family to get back to. Any further comments from Kalyan? Football, not family. Sorry, I had the different F word. Anyway, well, thanks very much for coming on and giving us this session, allowing us to have this dialogue. It's been very interesting. Your article is very, very nice one, Sean. And I enjoyed interacting with Yuri in the forum, and I'm glad that we're keeping these dialogues open and learning more from one another each week. Next week we're going to talk to Nellie Deutsch. She's quite prolific in the in getting teachers together herself. She's pretty much ubiquitous, actually. If you Google her, I'm sure you'll find pages of information about her. There's if you go into Learning Together, that's learning2together.tvworks.com, and you'll find more about our upcoming sessions. At the moment, we have only one upcoming session, and that's Nellie's, but we have some others in the wings, and we'll get them together and run them all through the summer, I hope. But anyway, this is Vance Stevens in Abu Dhabi, May 22nd, 2011, talking to Yuri Vedrashko and Sean Dowling at the Higher Colleges of Technology about how they use learning management systems and how they construct learning spaces. And thanks a lot for coming out and talking to us. We really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks for that, Vance. I'll say good night to you now, and all the best, Yuri.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Vance. Have a good day. Thank you.
Okay. Well, everyone just left, and so anyway, I'll put this in the, make a recording from it right now. And I'll put the URL to our Learning Together sessions here in case anyone wants to learn more about what we do. Just type in the URL in while I'm trying to talk. There we go. Okay, so if you want to learn more about our sessions, go to http://learning2together.pbworks.com. And hope to see you in a later session. Bye.